to episode 66, Hail Satan, of Divided by Werewolves. It is February already, halfway through February, and well, all I can say is that I talk to my wife every day about what is going on in this great country of ours. I was like, you know, I don't think I ever dreamed that I would see our government tested and parts of it in such new and interesting ways. Like, have you ever just had a question of, well, what if this happened? And you're like, you know, I really don't know. And we get to witness that firsthand. That's great.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, they've made movies for decades about what would happen if we all nuked each other out of existence. And it was always just a movie. So I didn't really think too much about it. And now I'm like, shit, it's not going to be Skynet that causes Judgment Day. It's just like,
I remember when they did the whole State of the Union thing, and my wife was like, well, what happens? Like, he's not invited. Like, what happened? And I was like, I don't know. I don't really know if anybody knows. I don't know if this is not a thing that's ever happened before. Mm-mm. So I don't know.
It's interesting.
May you live in interesting times. Anyway. All right. So we have a lot of stuff to talk about. But let's see. First and foremost, Mitch and I got rolling on the co-op train recently.
Yes, sir.
To play the beta for Division 2, a game I know that looking forward to, but also cautious about, because while I enjoyed the first one, you know, definitely there were issues for it, and not having played any of the kind of end game content, and especially the stuff that they added to the original Division, I wasn't really sure kind of how much they, you know, kind of learned from their mistakes and added to it. And you know, I guess on the one hand, it was good to see that I'm still terrible at the Division.
I was sort of interested in part two because, like, the trailers and all these things showed all these, like, outdoor environments and this and that. And that's part of what kind of intrigued me after. I didn't like the first one that much.
Right.
I enjoyed
it. I think I'm the only one who did. And I just made I made other people who didn't like it play it with me.
So I enjoyed it when we played it. But when I'd be playing alone, I'd be just like, this is so boring. Like, I'm just flipping from one car to the next, shooting somebody with a bandana in the face way more than I should have to. Mm-hmm. And when I saw the trailers for two and all this, and I read all the things about how much they improved the first one, I was like, well, damn, maybe I need to, I'm not going to go back and play one because that, fuck that game. I have no interest in going back to it. But, like, I was sort of interested in part two. And so we get into the beta, and I'm like, it starts off and I'm outside, and I'm like, okay. And then my first night with it, I run into a glitch that doesn't allow me to progress the game.
Yeah, stuck in the Oval Office.
Even before that,
right. That's when the guy ran through the fire.
Yeah, I had the last guy I was supposed to kill before I could progress to the next part literally ran through fire and was on the inside of the fence that
I was
supposed to
protect.
Right. Like, I'm supposed to, like, kill these guys before they can breach this fence, and this motherfucker runs straight through fire, and he's impervious to bullets because fire blocks bullets, Brandon.
Of course it does.
So
everybody knows that. So, rock, paper, scissors, fire, bullets.
So I'm unable to even progress through the first 10 minutes of my first playthrough. And I'm like, well, this is a Division, only I'm outside.
Yeah. Yeah. But then quickly you move back to streets. So it's I should say, and I wanted, they did, first of all, it was, the demo was fuck ton better than Anthem. I have absolutely no desire to play Anthem at all. Yep. Yeah. But that doesn't, that's not saying much. I think, you know, for me, part of it has to do with the fact that, like, as difficult as I found the Division, and I did find it difficult at times, like, I made some really poor choices and ended up just getting wasted when I probably shouldn't have. I still felt like if you wanted to play the Division by yourself, you could. Now, my understanding of some of the end game content is that shit's going to be hard. I did not do any of the specialization classes that they offered during the beta, so you could try them out. And my understanding is basically all the things that you clear out as you play the game gets reinvaded by a new, like, mega powered faction, and you have to kind of not necessarily do stuff over, but I guess, for lack of a better word. And that stuff sounds like, based on the beta, it's kind of difficult to solo. Anthem, I felt like would be just 100% like the Division 1 on steroids to play solo.
Yeah,
it would just, like, be you funnel trying, just pouring bullets into this sponge, in the hopes that you could take it down by yourself.
Right, and that's my understanding, and the game's not out yet, but from what I'm reading and what I'm seeing from people who are being given, like, access to the game early, and, you know, all these YouTubers and website people, Anthem seems like it's there's, like, that main area we got to play in the demo.
Mm-hmm.
There's only, like, three areas like that.
Oh.
And where the replayability comes in is that it's the same shit, just harder.
Oh yeah. No, I don't want that.
And I'm like, that is bare fucking bones.
Like, didn't you learn anything from Destiny when it first came out? Like,
right. Destiny had more to do than that when it first came out than three areas that only get.
Yeah. Right. But that was the complaint, right? Of Destiny was that there's, you know, you get to a certain point and then there's really nothing to do.
Right. Right. Yeah, Anthem, it looks like it's like, and I haven't played anything other than the one day I played the beta, but, like, I've read a lot. I watch a lot of goddamn YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, look, however you felt about the demo, just know that basically it's just like two or three areas like that. And most of the game is sort of that free roam kind of thing, only you play it at, like, four or five different difficulties.
And I seem to remember, like, that was one of the things I noticed that, you know, so they're kind of like, it feels like that they're trying to do, like, a Diablo thing, right? Where it's like, okay, well, you know, if you want, then, you know, you get better gear and stuff if you play something at the higher difficulty level.
Right,
and that's kind of where the challenge comes in. But, you know, the difference is that, you know, Diablo with all the skill trees and everything, I mean, there's a reason to kind of keep playing, because one, all the different character classes that you could play, but then just learning how all those different skills and stuff come together, you know, and maybe that'll be the case with Anthem as well, but
probably, but there's way more than three dungeons in Diablo.
Oh God. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, yes. Like, there's plenty of content in Diablo.
Right. Right.
So,
but getting back to the Division, I mean, I think, you know, some of the stuff I read about the beta, and I mean, the beta was stable and they were patching it, like, every day. So they did you ran into problems, but, you know, to their twice. Credit, they were, but they were fixing it regularly. And you know, it seemed like, you know, the servers didn't go down and take down every Ubisoft game in the process.
Right. Right.
But I still was like, I don't know if I would buy it out of the gate, because it does, like, I still am somewhat concerned about how easy it is to solo it. And I mean, there's plenty of stuff to do. Like, there is so many different icons popping off in that beta, and I'm hoping that the client I downloaded will still work for the public beta in March, because I would love to go in there and just kind of dick around some more. But, you know, before I felt pretty good, like, yeah, I probably would buy this, and now I think I would probably more rent it, because, you know, if it is something that I'm mostly just going to play by myself, I want to make sure that I actually can do that.
Yeah. So my takeaway from the beta is that, unfortunately, it felt a lot still like the Division 1 to me, and the Division 1 that I played, not the one that was supposedly fixed.
Right.
Which to me means that I'll play it with you 100%, and I'll be buying it, but because I don't rent, but I'll wait until you're ready to play it before I even look at it.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I was like, well, I don't want to get it, because I know that kind of, like, you would, you know, get it, pick it up so we could play together. And I was like, well, I don't want to then get it if it's something that I'm not, like, I want to have it be out in the wild, so to speak, so that you know, I kind of know how it is, and mm-hmm. people have had a chance with it. So I have a full understanding of kind of what I'm getting into, and not just, okay, I buy it, you buy it so we can play together. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm not really feeling it. Or I rent it and then you're out, you know what I mean? I don't want to kind of
well, and the other thing is, like, in a lot of these games are this way where, the experience is amazing provided you have 4 to 6 people to play with. And we're talking, when you talk about raids and all these other things, that they're, you know, apparently going to be including, that's great if you play with a group of people,
right.
But if it's just 2 people, those are basically impossible.
'Cause you and I think it was you and I, we did something with another person, didn't we? Or was that me and Pete? I don't remember.
On Division?
Yeah.
I mean, the only other person I remember playing the Division with was Chris, and I don't know if we all 3 got together on it or not.
I think we did, and I don't think
we may have.
We did that much better, to be perfectly honest.
No, we wouldn't have, because Chris's playtime is severely neutered, and that's a that I'll use that term with many layers intended. So
yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it was, you know, it's a game. I mean, I've, you know, been around the block enough times to know that just simply wanting a game to be really good is not enough. And if you, you know, you'll end up trying to convince yourself that something that you don't like, you like, just because you put the money into it. And I don't want to do that. I don't need to do that. I got plenty of stuff to play, plenty of stuff to do.
That is a lesson that I have yet to learn because of all the YouTube I watch. And I watch so many YouTube channels that are groups of friends who play things together. And I'm like, that shit would be amazing. And then I buy the game and I'm like, if I had 5 other people to play it with.
Well, and that's it, right? That's exactly it. Like, yep. I mean, if you know, like every raid we've ever done in Destiny, I could give a shit about the raid. I didn't find the raid itself to be a fun, enjoyable experience. What was fun and enjoyable was doing it with other people.
Yeah.
And I'm just not built for that kind of, like, raids in me. We're just not, you know, it wants more than I kind of want to give, both in time and effort. And that's fine. People love them. Good for them. I like the fun of doing a raid is kind of what does it for me.
Sure. Yeah. No, so my whole thing with not so much in D2 because I've done no raids in D2, but I know how to do them because I've watched so many videos. But on D1, I did everything except for the last one. I hated the Vault of Glass just because I only did that one a couple of times. And the same thing with King's Fall, where there were so many different ways to do it. And every time I played it, it was with different people.
Mm-hmm.
And they all did it differently.
Yeah.
But Crota, I loved Crota. Because we did that one with the same people. We did it every week, multiple times. And by the end of Crota, through cheesing it and learning all the encounters in this, like, Chris and I two-manned Crota.
Right.
By the end. And that was amazing. But that's my favorite raiding thing in Destiny, will always be Crota.
Yeah. And for me, I totally get, I'm just like, I don't tend to like Destiny is different for me. It's like the only game where I'm like, yeah, I'll kind of do this stuff over and over again. And I mean, Diablo to some degree too. It's that kind of loot grind. But for the most part, you know, kind of once I'm done with something, I'm done with it. And just spending my time just to get something different is just not enough.
Yeah, I hear you.
So Division 2, you know, it wasn't, I was kind of hoping it would just be a solid slam dunk. Like, yep, can't wait. And I kind of left it going, eh. You know what? I'll wait and see. And if it ends up being good, great. Even better. Yeah, if it's not, that's cool too. Because here's the thing. Like, I played Divinity 2 for like 100 hours. Mm-hmm. I played Red Dead Redemption 2 for like 80 some odd hours. I've got like 100 hours into Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I'm not done with it. I bought the season pass because apparently I hate myself. I actually really don't want to go right into another fucking 100-hour, 9 million thing to do game where I have to worry about checking things off a map or whatnot.
Yeah.
I have Crackdown 3 coming, and my understanding is that's actually really, like, you can finish it in like 13 or hours or so.
I heard 8 to 10 if you just do campaign.
Which, you know, and that's something I wanted to talk about. I read multiple takes on this that really, I hope it's not the case, but is people going, you know, it's not great. It's Crackdown. You know, it, but you know what? If it's on Game Pass, you know, it's probably something people would play. And they drew the comparison to Netflix. And which makes sense. I mean, if you're Microsoft and you don't have any exclusives, but you have a service that people pay to be able to play your exclusives, then do you really care whether or not the exclusive is all that great, or do you just care that it's there? And now, you know, we talk about a lot of movies. We talk on this show about a lot of movies that are Netflix exclusives. Some of which we enjoy, but I think the majority of movies that we watch on Netflix that we like are not Netflix movies. They're just happen to be on Netflix.
Netflix just has them. Yep.
And so what I don't want when I hear of these studios, these great studios that Microsoft bought, like, it's fine if they want to use them to shore up their exclusives. I don't want them making Crackdown 3 ad nauseum to be Netflix for Game Pass, to be the Netflix of games, where it's just this kind of mediocre stuff that they can put on the front page Game Pass that gives people a good a warm fuzzy for spending money on their service.
Yeah. I agree, 100%. After Hellblade, if like Ninja Theory does Crackdown 4, I'll be really upset.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Exactly. And I get it. Like, I totally get it. I mean, you know, people watch shit on Netflix, and I mean literally shit on Netflix because it's there.
Yep.
And I do too. Yep, you know? Same. But you know, the problem is that for every, you know, Haunting of Hill House, there's like 7 fucking Brights, or Polar, you know, which we'll get to, you know, briefly. It's, you know, and so that I don't want that for games. Like I don't want that for Game Pass, and I don't want that for the studios. That
I don't want that for Xbox. I still like Xbox.
It's not that I dislike it. I just don't it. It's not that I dislike it. For me, there's just not as much value from it as there is in the PS4, simply because...
No, there's not. And that's disappointing to me.
Yeah.
I hate that Microsoft tied their wagon to basically Halo and Gears of War and Forza. And like, well, they're like, that's great, but what else? Because Gears were into, what, 6 games?
Gears has not been good since Gears of War 2. Right. Halo has not been good since Reach.
Reach.
Or ODST.
Yeah.
Well,
basically, since they left Bungie. Like, I didn't like 4 or 5.
Oh, God, they were terrible. 5 was five was awful.
5 was fucking awful.
5 was, was just...
And as much as a Halo guy as I was, that's a lot for me to say how bad. I was so disappointed with that game.
Yeah. Yeah,
but you have to do other shit, and I don't know where they lost sight of that. Like, I don't understand.
I feel like where they lost sight is trying. I don't know. Is maybe trying to put the technology first, like not realizing that like who gives a shit whether you use your Xbox as a TV tuner, or whether you can use words to turn it on. Nobody cares about that stuff.
Right.
Or if they do, it's ancillary to what most people are buying
exactly
a console for.
Yep.
So don't make that your focus. Make games of give them a reason. Give them games to play on their game box that they can only play on your game box.
Yep. And the people who get into the other shit are going to get into that other shit, and that's great too.
Right.
But you know, that's not your core. Like, that's not who you want to like put all your effort towards. Like, the Kinect is the Kinect. I liked it. Most people didn't. Me and the kids had a fucking ball with the Kinect.
Right.
But is it something we played every day instead of, you know, real games? Fuck no.
Right. And I think too, like, you know, I think they got a little ahead of themselves. Like, with the 360, like, that when you too consider how much the fortunes change. But at the end of the day, you know, even with the stumbles that the PS3 had, its exclusives were still better.
Yep.
You know, Uncharted was amazing. Ratchet & Clank is mm-hmm. amazing. Even Infamous, you know, was great. You know, yep. Last of Us, like when you look yep. at the games that you could only play in the PS3, they were yeah. better than the ones you could only play on the Xbox. It's just right. that, you know, the Xbox, the PS3 was fucking ridiculously expensive when it first came out. The 360 right. wasn't.
Right.
And once you get a lead, you know, once you get friends playing, right? You know, your friends are playing, you've got an online service, of course you're yep. going to tell your friends to play so they can play with you. And well, then and you're off to the races.
Also, most of the, with the exception of, I guess, Halo, most of the IPs that we associate with Xbox are from the 360 era.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they had the IPs, they had the cheaper console, they had the bigger install base.
Right.
So of course, you know, they led the pack.
Because I mean, what PS3 have they had with the one with their, that's specific to the one? ReCore? Who gives a fuck?
ReCore,
Quantum Rift Break,
Quantum Break. Sunset Overdrive is the only thing that I wish I could had played on a different console.
Right.
I yes. wish that it done better because I love that game.
Yeah.
And it fucking failed, and there'll never be another one, and that sucks.
No, because they went back to Sony and were like, you know, we're just going to make Spider-Man.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying. Yeah. I hope with the success of Spider-Man is not going to lead to Sunset 2, which is disappointing because I love Sunset Overdrive.
I get it. Okay. Well, so enough about...
That was a long time to talk about games.
Yeah, it was, but that's fine.
I had one more thing to mention, though.
Please do.
Just real quickly... you know, I only play Destiny, but I have been playing God of War,
mm-hmm.
and I gotta say, I was kind of not feeling it, man. This game of the year, and I'm playing it, and I'm just like, I mean, it's a good game, but I finally had my oh shit moment, and now I'm all about it.
What was it?
When you fight the fucking Monster Hunter dragon, I was like.
Oh, yeah.
This is amazing. This is what I thought the whole game would be. And so mm-hmm. now I'm like, I'm full in on it.
Good.
So
I love that game.
I'm excited about God of War now, whereas before I was kind of like, it's good, but I could be playing Destiny. And yeah. and this week I got to that point and I fought that dragon and I was like, this is fucking badass. So, like, I'm all in on God of War now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it when you're done with it because, you know, there are there's one thing in particular I was kind of like, I'm not sure about that, but you know, I really love, you know, kind of what they do with this game in regards to, you know, kind of fatherhood and raising a kid and
yeah.
and
man, there's been some shit, cringeworthy shit so far for me.
Yeah, yeah, but. Yeah, but it's still really good. So, but yeah, so I'll be very excited when you're done with it because I'd love to hear your thoughts on it when you're actually done.
I'm excited to finish it now. Like I think that's going forward. I think Tuesdays and maybe Wednesdays I'll dedicate to Destiny, and then other than that I'm going to play God. I'm sort of finally excited to play other shit. Yeah, so.
That's good. Okay, so we've had a lot of movies. We've spent a lot of time talking mm-hmm. about games, so now we have a lot of, anyway, sorry about that. let's see. So real quick, I was excited because, you know, there's this movie about Hitman on Netflix and Mads Mikkelsen was in it, and I fucking love Mads mm-hmm. Mikkelsen. And I was like, I'm sure. going to watch this shit. And they said, I've never read the comic it's based on.
Oh, I didn't know it was based on a comic.
That's what they said.
Well, that makes more sense, I guess.
it was terrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
Good God. You texted me or I was like, this is like an SNL skit about John Wick, which is probably the best description of yeah. that movie I can think of. That is 100% accurate. It is as if somebody decided to make fun of John Wick mm-hmm. and write a whole movie about it. It is not good. Don't spend your time. It's kind of the
Lord,
some of the stuff they do,
hours long.
Yeah, and some of the stuff they do with women in it is super gross. Like there's yes. one woman where all she does is like fuck people so that they can then she doesn't get to murder them.
Mm-mm.
Other people murder them. She just fucks them, which I'm like, and
until it's blow time,
until
mister.
It's blowjob time, right? And then and then that's when they know to take the kill shot. But meanwhile, fucking Mads Mikkelsen like painted the whole goddamn cabin mm-hmm. with her ass. Mm-hmm. Like it couldn't have been blow time earlier. It like yeah. not in the previous 6 hours of them.
I was gonna say, not to speak from experience, but blow time usually doesn't come towards the end of the session.
Like, you know what? That was what I was thinking. I was like, why wouldn't you just have that be first?
That's usually where we start. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not. I'm just like, just
no. I get it. But also for her, why would you want,
right?
Why would she want right. to have to go through all that?
Yeah, most people don't have sex and then try foreplay towards the end. Like, I
don't, yeah, like, exactly. I'm like, it's been places, and you don't yeah. want that than other places.
I mean, you know,
that's just
if we learn nothing else from Jay and Bob Strike Back, is you never go ass to mouth. Like,
exactly. Exactly. Although,
yeah, fucking terrible movie. Just
and you didn't finish it.
No, I'm not going to.
So you didn't find out the twist at the end.
Oh shit! Well, don't tell me. I mean, God damn it. Maybe I'll fast forward.
No, don't. I'll tell you later.
Oh, just tell me. I don't care.
Vanessa Hudgens there, who they did their darndest to be like, look, she's sad. She's ugly. That was the daughter of the hit that he kept having the flashbacks about.
Oh yeah, well, no shit.
And she got the cabin there in to kill him.
Oh, I didn't see that coming. Yeah. Yeah, okay, I got you. All right, well, I don't care.
And then
did she kill him?
No.
Well, fuck this movie.
They team up.
Mm-mm.
She at the end.
No. That's even dumber.
At the end, she was like, do you know who ordered the hit on my family? And he's like, no. And she's like, can you find out? And he's like, probably. And
oh,
that's when it ended.
Sequel. No, thank you.
Yeah, no shit, right? I was so disappointed.
It was like a, what was that Ryan Reynolds movie with the assassins?
I don't even know.
They fucking made another one for no reason. The fuck was that? I don't know. But it was terrible. It was like it was like John Wick and G.I. Joe. And not as smart as either one of those.
The one thing it did do right is I really hated the main head of the Assassin League.
Oh my God.
So I really wanted him dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know,
fucking,
anyway.
Gary Busey dressed up as Big Bird with a fucking Guy Fieri wig on.
Yeah, like, exactly.
What the fuck am I watching?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. So next would be Velvet Buzzsaw, which, so Tony Gilroy and Jake Gyllenhaal combined forces again. Not nearly as good as Nightcrawler, but that's.
No.
I mean.
But few are.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about the movie. I thought it was solid as a horror movie. They did some interesting things, particularly the very, very end, the last scene. I thought it was great.
Yes.
I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah.
So that was very cool. But I don't, you know, kind of some of the stuff, the comments that they were making about art and the art world in particular, I wasn't really sure, like, were they deliberately trying to make fun of things? Were they
I
thought so too, but I didn't really feel like they were making fun of things in a way that, you know, you kind of was anything like new or it just,
no,
you know, like the guy who thought like the bags of trash was, you know, the artist's right. most recent work. I'm like, yeah. Okay, that's not a new joke at all. You know, that's kind of not a new way of kind of slamming,
right.
You know, the art world.
Yeah, I feel like it certainly didn't break any new ground in that regard, but I felt like as a sort of a satire or like a making fun of the higher art world, I liked the jokes. I feel like most of them landed more or less. Every character is despicable, and that's on purpose. And I feel like that's sort of something that a lot of people didn't pick up on.
And that was, and that, and again, this is where I was kind of going, okay, I'm not really sure. I wasn't entirely sure, like, yeah, was on purpose? Was it supposed to be that you didn't like any of these people?
I felt like that was the case.
You know, I mean, the only person you end up liking is John Malkovich. And I feel like, based on kind of what happens in the movie, that is by design.
Yeah, I think so.
But I thought it was solid.
Again, it's not, like you said, it's nowhere near Nightcrawler. I think that's sort of what people were looking for. And I think that's where a lot of the flack the movie's been getting comes from. But
yeah,
as far as it standing on its own, I feel like it's a better movie than people are reacting to it.
And I do think, though, that part of it is this idea of, okay, well, you're not saying, you're not really, you know, the jokes land, but they're not, it's nothing new. Mm-hmm. And whether or not, you know, it has to be kind of an original take on that type of stuff in order to have value. And I don't know if that's, you know, we've kind of talked about this before, whether something has to be new to be considered good, or it can just be its own take on something.
Right. Well, and a lot of that, I think, comes down to the talent behind the project. And yeah, I think that in this case, like, I mean, you know, I don't know. I guess Nightcrawler is the only other thing I've seen.
Didn't they do Enemy together? Wasn't that the same team behind Enemy?
I don't know if I saw that.
You never saw Enemy?
I don't think so.
Seriously? Oh my, dude.
No, I don't think I did.
That movie is fucked up. I love that movie. So Jake Gyllenhaal is just a guy, and then he realizes he has a double. You know how, like, they say, like, everybody has a doppelganger?
Okay. Yeah.
He realizes he's got a doppelganger, like a double. Oh, that's Denis Villeneuve. Okay.
Yeah, no, right. It's not. I'm looking at the thing now. It's not.
Well, anyway, so see that. You totally should. It's a mind fuck for sure. It is great.
Gotcha.
But anyway, yeah, so right. So as far as this particular team, you know, Nightcrawler would have been the one for them. I think part of it, though, for me is, like, I really like Jake Gyllenhaal, so I'll pretty much kind of watch him in anything.
Right. I don't remember did we talk about Okja on the show? I think we did.
We did.
I even liked him in that. He was
like the environmentalist guy, right?
Yeah. He was fucking hilarious in Okja. And it was such a weird character for him to play. But, like, this dude's got range.
Yes.
But, like, he has no problem with making an idiot out of himself.
Right.
Yeah. That's, like, I love that about him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of this, you know, kind of evaluating a movie on its own merits and not based on something that came before, that brings us quite nicely to the Suspiria double feature that we're going to talk about. I watched the original last week, and then I watched the remake yesterday.
Gotcha.
And after kind of reading about the remake, one of the things I read is they said, don't watch the original before you watch this one. And you know what? I think they were absolutely right.
That's interesting, because, like, I was so interested in you having seen both of them, like, relatively, because I've been watching the first one since high school. So
I think that the second one, you know, they've said it's not a remake, it's more like a cover. So it has kind of the same kind of broad strokes, but it is its own thing.
Yes.
And I think that having watched the original so soon in relation to watching the remake, it is very hard to put it out of your mind and
to not draw comparisons.
But you know what, at the same time, it also allowed me to pick up on things that if I had not watched it was my first time. I've never seen Suspiria. So I know that makes me a bad horror movie person, but it is what it is. It's not. But there were aspects about the remake that I, you know, particularly like when Dakota Johnson is remembering her mother and the way that the rattling, you know, kind of the way of her breath. And I was like, oh, that's like how the matron or whatever the hell it was, you know, was sleeping next door, you know, or like the counting of the steps. I'm like, oh, that, you know, that's how. So there was, you know, those comparisons that honestly, if I, because I probably, if you've been watching Suspiria since high school, you know it a hell of a lot better than I do.
Right.
Had I seen it before this, you know, there's no guarantee I would have watched it enough to where I would have picked up on the nods to the original that were there in the newer version, which would have made it, I think, less enjoyable. But at the same time, it is difficult to not draw comparisons, and I think that hurts both of the movies. Because you know, my take on the original Suspiria was that there's some kind of cool stuff going on, but it's kind of like it doesn't feel very coherent as a movie. It feels more like almost like kind of an experiment, and then at the end of it, they're like, oh, shit, this is a movie. We probably should wrap things up, which is why you have the main character going to talk to someone, and he explains all of it in, like, 30 seconds, and then you're like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. You know, like, so much of the original Suspiria is just this feeling of, I don't know what's going on, and that's felt by the main character, that's felt by the viewer. You know, that people get killed. You don't know who's killing them, smashing their faces into windows in ways that really are kind of weird. And then, you know, then you're just like, well, and then the music is like, witch, you know, and you're like,
the music is amazing.
I think it's witches, you know, but then also you know, she goes to talk to somebody at the university and he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to you know, like explain everything to you. And then it just kind of goes on its way. So it was, it felt more like a, not an experiment in filmmaking, but just, it felt more like, someone who is more interested in making a movie a particular way to maybe to shock audiences.
Well, sure.
Than actually telling a complete,
coherent story. Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, go ahead.
No, you're right. I think that Suspiria, the original, starts off with one of the most amazing the first intros in a movie of all time. Mm-hmm. It has one of the most iconic kills of all time off the bat.
Yeah. Like when they panned over with the glass and then the.
Yeah,
I was like, holy shit. Like,
it's gorgeous. It's such a gorgeous movie. But you're right. It's if you've never seen it, because I remember the first time I watched it, I was just like, what the fuck am I watching for like a lot of it? And I think that probably most of my love for it comes from the fact that I do watch it every October and I have for 20 years almost. But I still think the more you watch it, the more you pick up on things that sort of hint. You know, at what's really going on. Like you, I know you tweeted that the dog part was hilarious, but one of the creepiest fucking scenes in the movie to me is when like that they have that the camera pulls back, and they have that wide shot of that area or whatever, like the
square,
and the shadows on the top of that building are witches on brooms.
Oh, really? Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like there's witches, like shadows across that front of that building, and you can see they're riding on brooms and shit.
Oh, that's
and that
cool.
Shit, I'm scared shitless of witches, man. Like I'll be the first to admit it. The Witch, the year that movie came out,
I love that
my
movie.
Favorite movie of the year.
Except those scared fucking kids. Oh my god, they're terrifying.
Good god, did that fucking movie scare the shit? It had Satan as a goat. And it had witches at the end.
Like, but you know what? That guy getting knocked into the wood pile is hilarious.
Sure. But still, Satan Goat did that. Like that shit.
Black Phillip, absolutely.
Like, I have a Black Phillip Funko Pop.
Do you really? That.
Hell yeah, I do.
Should I that pay would money be for that?
Scares the shit out of me. So, like, I am deathly afraid of witches.
You
I
know, honestly, I agree with you. Like, anything Satan-related, like House of the Devil or, like, The Devil's Candy, like, that, those movies scare me more than, you know, any slasher movie you could come up with.
Yeah. You know, it's like shit like Hereditary where, like, it's so just fucking evil.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what I want.
That's what
like,
it I, is, right? It's the, it. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
And so, for me, like, Suspiria is one of those movies for me. It just happens to be set at a German dance studio. But, like, there is some wicked shit going on in this movie.
Yeah. Well, and I really, and you know, the thing about the first one that a lot of horror movies don't do, you know, most horror movies nowadays with, I mean, Hereditary is the one that jumps to mind recently where right off the bat, through the use of those dioramas and the different scenes they show, you know something just isn't right.
Right.
And so it puts the viewer on edge, gives them a sense of unease, basically from the beginning, which you know, obviously helps over the course of the movie. But if you were to watch something like, even just sort of like the remake of Halloween, right? Like, I mean, you know bad shit's coming. Like, that's kind of the whole point.
Sure.
Just kind of, as a viewer, you're like, oh, can't wait. Let's see what it is, you know?
It's like you're rooting for Michael, though.
Yeah. You know,
like Hereditary, when you're invested in the characters and you know that horrible shit's going to happen to them, and the movie gives you that impending sense of dread,
right,
the whole time. Like, that's the shit that gets under my skin.
But, you know, the original Suspiria, between the music and just the scene, you know, you put yourself in this woman's situation. She's in a foreign country. She doesn't speak the language. Shows up somewhere where she's supposed to be. They're like, you're not supposed to be here. And she's like, wait, what the fuck? What do you mean I'm not supposed to be here? Sees someone screaming and leaving. Yep. It does not care about making you feel good as a viewer. It is going to knock you on your ass from jump and then make you try to figure out what's happening while at the same time you're incredibly unsettled between the visuals, the music, like all that stuff. So it does not give a fuck about you as a viewer and what is going to make you comfortable. And then it just works that the entire movie. And I loved that about it. I thought it was great that it would, you know, that it would do that, because horror movies are supposed to be, they don't have to be scary. They can be unsettling, right? A lot of different emotions, can make you just be like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to see what's happening. I don't want to experience what they're experiencing. But yet you want to, because you want to know what's going to go on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the best ones, and you know, one of the ones that we really liked, doing this show that I think was a fucking masterpiece in terms of that was It Comes at Night, because as minimalistic as it was, I was uncomfortable within the first 3 minutes,
right,
and that never went away.
Yeah,
so much so that the movie never even lets you know if there's something out there or not.
Yeah, right, you don't even know if there's something to be afraid of.
Right, and you start to think, well, maybe there isn't anything, and you think, well, maybe there is, and like that shit is genius when a movie can pull that off.
Right, absolutely. You know, but then you've got I don't want to call it a remake because it's not what it is. But the 2018 version, which very, very quickly into the movie is like, yep, witches.
Witches, yeah.
Absolutely.
Just, goddamn it. It's just like the Rosemary's Baby TV movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was so great about Rosemary's Baby is it's a two-hour movie. So for an hour and 52 minutes,
I love
you
that
didn't
movie.
Know.
That movie fucked me up as a kid so bad. I can't even begin to tell you. That scene with Mia Farrow eating the raw meat and not really knowing what she's doing. Oh, my God.
But, like, that movie is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
And because for the entire movie, you don't know if she's nuts or if this is really happening.
Yeah.
And then the ending is such a gut punch.
Satan, and, again.
Right. And then they make this made-for-TV one a few years ago, and right off the bat, yep, witches.
I never saw it. Fuck it, I didn't even...
It's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Like, it's right off the bat. They're like, yep, witches. Yeah. And it's like, motherfucker. Like, the best part of the original is not knowing.
Right. Right. And but yet, for this one, knowing doesn't... I don't think it took away from it.
I don't either. I wasn't attempting to compare the two.
No. But I think that's a valid point, because so much of the first one is going, well, what exactly is going mm-hmm. on? Mm-hmm. And then in this movie, you know, they make it clear not necessarily what's going on from the standpoint of, well, what are the witches doing, but mm-hmm. from the standpoint of, yeah, they're witches.
They are witches. Yeah.
And I this was a movie I had to read about afterwards, because I didn't quite get it. And, you know, whatever. That's, I guess, shame on me for being an idiot. I fucking loved it. I do feel it was a little... 2.5 hours, it was a little bit too long.
Same.
But I thought it was great.
It's exactly what I want from not from a finger quote remake. It's a new director making a movie that's his own take on the source material.
Which, when you consider what he's best known for, to follow up kind of a gay romance coming of age
right.
story.
Sure.
With this, like, what the fuck? Like, and this was, you know, my understanding is this was already kind of in the works when, you know, Call Me By My Name or whatever the hell it was called, you know, kind of was done and kind of hit it big. So it's not like, you know, he was like, hey, you know, people love my movie, I want to make a Suspiria. That's not what happened. This was already like in the works.
Yeah.
You know, so he had decided to do this before that, and folks were like, yeah, absolutely, which is just, yeah, okay, sure, I guess, like,
yeah,
good on you, mate.
I mean, yeah, it's and I love Suspiria, I do, and the people who love Suspiria and hate this one, I get it. I honestly don't
I really don't. Like, I mean, I think that if what you want is an extremely disturbing movie about a woman who goes to a dance school that ends up being a front for witches, and then you just spend like 2 hours being assaulted,
yeah,
you got it.
Right, but I think that this is one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't situations. Nobody, they weren't going to be happy with it one way or the other. I think the people that are mad at this movie, there's no way. Because if he had basically done a shot for shot remake, like the fucking Psycho remake with what's his nuts, yeah, like they'd have been pissed then. They're pissed about what he did. I'm not. I love the
original. What are they mad about? Because you know this stuff more than I do. I don't honestly follow any of this.
I'm not entirely sure, because I don't know what they wanted. Because they're mad that this movie was such a different direction from the original, but they wouldn't have been happy if it had copied that either.
But so, that's the thing. I don't feel like it was that much of a different direction. I feel like the different direction was letting you as a viewer know earlier that, yeah, witches.
Yeah. And I think there's few gnarlier deaths than in the other one. Like, this one has one really fucked up.
Yeah. But death. That death was, but
Jesus Christ.
You want to, I mean,
oh my,
you know,
God.
This stuff, you know, I mean, it's make believe, right? Like, we know that, but
sure.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
When she's doing that dance and that poor woman, man, is just put through the fucking ringer.
Stop.
When she peed herself, please. I was like, I don't know what it was about that. I was like, up until that point where her fucking face gets stretched out, I'm like, yeah, it's fine. When she peed herself, and I'm like, oh no, that's embarrassing.
That's too much. That's too much. Like,
wow, you drank a lot. Like,
man, it was fucking brutal.
And like, but you're right, it's because it went on for so long. It's because,
right,
you know, you felt everything this poor woman was going, like, it just, and then when the dance was over, she wasn't dead yet, and they fucking just pick her up like a slab of meat, and are like, okay, you know, I mean, just the utter, the complete and utter disregard for this poor woman. Like, this is someone who, I mean, it, you know, these women, even though they are, I'm not going to say the dance company was a front. I think they genuinely were, you know, interested in having a dance company. It just happened to have an ulterior motive. And so they are in some point, you know, at some point responsible for the women that go to this school, and the way they just fucking picked her up like meat, just didn't give a shit. Just like, here's Olga, just drooling and contorted. All right, well, let's clean her, you know, not clean her up, just get her out of here.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she fucked up, so it's on her.
But this is where I had a hard time with it, because, I mean, so many, you know, white people, they all look the same, right? So I was just like, I genuinely was like, okay, how did she get down there in the first, like, was she just investigating what happened to the woman who went to go with the people who were kidnapping the airplane? Is that why she got in the secret room? Because I genuinely was like, all right, I'm not really sure why you were there in the first place.
Wasn't she trying to find Chloe Grace? What's her nuts?
Right, exactly. That's the woman. So let's back up. So there's a couple of things going on in Suspiria. The first thing is that Dakota Johnson plays a woman similar in the first movie who gets accepted at this dance school in Berlin. So she goes there, and then weird things happen. But at the same time, Chloe Grace Moretz there, she plays a woman who is seeing a psychologist who's played by Tilda Swinton as a man, and who had been a dance student but decided to leave to go join
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so, terrorist organization that was holding people on an airplane hostage. And she told the psychologist, like, hey, I think they're witches. And he's like, yeah, whatevs, you basic, you crazy. And didn't give it a lot of thought. But then, you know, she went missing. And he was like, well, that's weird. Maybe I should try to find her. And he did his own investigation into the dance studio. And that did not work out for him. What part didn't you realize? I'm just curious.
I didn't know Tilda Swinton played the doctor.
Tilda Swinton played the doctor and the ancient Marcos. Witch lady.
I knew she was Marcos. I did not know she was the doctor.
Oh, seriously?
No.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yep.
Now I got to rewatch it. Like, that's okay.
Oh, you have no. Yeah, you wouldn't know. There are times when he's talking, and I'm like, that's a woman's voice. Particularly when he goes out to the cafe with the one woman who ends up seeing more of her insides than she probably would have hoped to.
Sure.
I forget her name. Where I was like, that's more like an older woman's voice and not a, but that's Tilda Swinton, which I don't know why. I mean, look.
Well, I don't either, but
I think Tilda Swinton's a national fucking treasure for whatever country she's from. I loved her in Doctor Strange. You want to watch a fucking amazing Tilda Swinton movie that is absolutely heartbreaking to watch? Watch We Have to Talk About Kevin.
I still haven't seen that. I know you want me to see it. I still haven't seen it.
Well, don't watch it on a day when you're feeling good, because you won't anymore.
I don't have those days.
It is an absolute kick to the gut, which is why it took me so long to watch it. But she is absolutely fantastic. And for anyone, any parent who has ever had a difficult time reconciling being a parent with thoughts of I'm not thrilled to be a parent, which oftentimes those of us that feel that way are made to feel bad about having what are completely normal and natural thoughts. This movie is fantastic, but it's also just a complete and total kick to the gut, repeated kicks to the gut. And she's fucking amazing in it. I was a fan of hers to begin with, but when I saw this movie, I was like, yep, I'm a ride for life. Like, that's it. So she's my Dominic Toretto.
Gotcha.
but getting back to the redo, I can understand, you know, where comparisons to the original might fail, and if you're going into it thinking it's going to be like that, it's not that, and it kind of makes that clear fairly early on, simply because there's so much more kind of going on in this one. And I don't know, I still don't fully understand, like, they spent a lot of time on, you know, the psychologist and kind of, you know, his getting separated from his wife during, you know, World War II, and his guilt over that. And then also just the actions of the terrorist group, or I don't want to, I'm calling them terrorists because I don't know enough about the time, and that's what the movie called them. So if I'm labeling them incorrectly, because they weren't actually terrorists, I apologize. You know, they spent a lot of time kind of focusing on their actions, and I was like, is that supposed to mean something? Like, is there supposed to be some greater meaning to the movie that is brought about as a result of what's going on? Because a lot of that stuff I just didn't get, and I don't know if it's because I just didn't, I'm not schooled in the ways of Berlin circa 1977.
Right.
But, you know what I mean? So,
yes.
There's a lot going on, but I mean, at the same time, you, as much as I was like, I feel like this is a little long, that last half hour, 40 minutes, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I was sitting here by myself, and I was like, well, you know, if we didn't conjure Satan with that one, he obviously doesn't exist. I was like, Jesus Christ.
That... That scene where Tilda Swinton as Blanc there is trying to teach Dakota Fanning how to jump, for the dance number, is one of the most suspenseful, kind of best scenes I've seen in a horror movie in I don't know how long.
Right.
The way that just. You can tell she's not driving her to get her to do this because she wants to teach this woman how to dance.
Right.
You know there's another purpose to it. And when you see just the way the camera would move, and you would see the other women, not the dancers, who were you know, obviously curious because this is one of their own trying to, you know, replicate a certain move, but the women who run the school watching going – Is it her? Is it her? It's like in the, you know, like in the Matrix, right? When Neo is doing the "there is no spoon" and wants to jump across the roof, and all of the people on the ship are watching, going, "Is he going to make it?" Because they are fully invested in him being the one. The way the camera would move around between the dancing and the women, it was just like you as a viewer are like. Do I want her to be able to do it? Do I not? I don't know. All I know is that I am invested in her fucking jumping. And I mean, but I don't know why. Do I, like, I don't know. Do I want her to be able to do it? Or do I not? And then that other poor 9-foot-tall German woman comes in and fucking nails it. And then next thing you know, she's having a seizure. And you're like, oh, no. Like... And I fucking loved it. Loved it. And I mean, and the dance that they did was great. Like, I am not a fine arts person. I don't like musicals. Like, I don't, just fucking say it. Just say it. I don't need you to sing for 3.5 minutes about what you picked up at the grocery store. I ain't got time for that bullshit. Just tell me. Right?
Yeah.
And then if it's in a foreign language, fuck that. You got a great voice. Good for you. I'm out. Right? Most modern dance, I do not get. I'm just like, I can appreciate the... Okay. I hate Rush, the band Rush. I think their music sucks. I can appreciate the talent behind it. I just don't want anything to do with it. That is how I feel about most fine art stuff. You know, your dance, your opera,
yeah,
musicals, plays, sure, things sure like that. You know, I can appreciate the talent that goes into making it. I just don't want anything to do with it because I don't like it.
Yeah, understood.
But this dance, no, I mean, was, and when they like had fucking like put all the tape on the ground, I was like, oh no. Like, I remember that from The Notebook. That's not good. That's not good.
That's, yeah.
And then the end, where I was like, and I tweeted out, like, that must have made for some interesting fucking conversation at the dinner table talking about that shit. I thought, like, End of Hereditary was pretty, I mean, tame compared to this was some fucking batshit crazy shit.
I'm telling you, if we did not summon Satan with the end of that movie, then he doesn't exist. Like, God. It was
it was just out there. But like, I was talking to my wife, we've talked about this before. Like, my wife and I'll go for a walk and I'll tell her about the movies that I watch. And she, in her mind, is like, okay, when do I ask him to sleep in another room? Right, and I lock the door. Like, when are we at that point when I'm hiding the cutlery? Yeah. I'm dialing 911 on the phone before I go to bed. Like,
she's salting the doorway.
And I'm telling her about this, and she was like, just what the fuck? And I was like, I know, right? Like, I didn't get it either. And I'm like, and then she reached into her skin and pulled it open. You know, like, she said, why'd she do that? I don't know. I don't know. She just did it. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's and I don't know if it's a testament to the shit that I've watched this year, but it jumped way to the top of my list. And I know it came out last year, but I didn't get to see it till this year, so it's up there for me on 2019 so far.
I mean, I think that you know, for me, so many horror movies I watch that I go, oh yeah, you know, that's fine, you know, that's a cool kill, oh that's a cool makeup, oh that's cool. Or I just fucking hate, like, the creep movies. I fucking hate those movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, God, I can't stand them.
Gotcha.
Not because I don't feel, I'm not, like, unsettled by the guy. I'm like, you're just weird and annoying, and you just also happen to kill people. But you killing people is not what makes you scary. You're just fucking weird and annoying, but not weird in a unsettling way. Just weird in, like, a weird way, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, really like if you were at Kroger and somebody walked in with a wolf mask on, you'd be like, well, that's kind of weird. Like, you know what I mean? It just seems
yeah, what an
more
idiot.
Like, huh?
Like, what an idiot.
Exactly. Right. But
I thought the first one was really good. I hated the second one. So.
I wasn't a fan of the first one. And then I read things about the second one.
It was way worse.
And I thought, okay, I'll watch it because, you know, this, you know, let's see. And it was way worse. You are absolutely correct.
There was no need for a sequel, first of all. Like, there's no need.
No. But, you know, Suspiria is one of those, you know, kind of horror movies, and which just same as the original, it just kind of knocks you off guard.
Mm-hmm.
And just keeps the pressure on your neck the whole time. And so that's, I love horror movies that do that. Like, I like,
same,
you know, it doesn't, I don't know if being scared, like, I think at this point, and not unsettled in like a, oh, like, I mean, obviously if you were to watch something like Hostel, you'd be like, well, that's gross. I don't want to watch that for an hour and a half. I don't want to see these poor people kind of have that happen to them. Mm. But this was, you know, genuinely unsettling and made me uncomfortable to watch it. And then at the end, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And that, like, that's it right there. You get that reaction out of me. Same as Hereditary when I was like, I mean, that was a what the fuck moment for sure. Mm-hmm. Then you did it. Good for you.
Yep. That's it.
And that's kind of what was here. And I don't, you know, I don't really care about the, you know, the, I feel like it stands well next to the original. I feel like, you know, the original was, I don't want to call it, I don't know, like, I don't know enough about Dario Argento and his motivations and what he wanted to do if he set out to make a horror movie or he just set out to make a movie that ended up being horrifying to certain people.
Same, because like I've talked about this many a times, and especially like when we would do Italian Horror Week over at Doc Terror, and I'd be like, yes, I want to participate. Somebody tell me something to watch, because like my exposure to Italian horror was so limited. Like it was literally Suspiria and not much else.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know that much about the making of Suspiria and what went into it and shit like that. I just knew that I watched it and just from the opening and then like the razor wire scene and then the ending.
Oh yeah. That like, scene, that was fucked up. Like, yeah. That was super fucked up. I forgot about it. I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah. That was not great.
And then, like I said, like I watched it in October in high school, and like the next year I was like, I'm going to watch that again. And it turned into something I watched literally every October. Because it just, for me, it just feels like a Halloween movie.
Yeah, but I do wonder, and not to diminish what he did, like was that his intention? Was his intention to make what you would consider a horror movie, or was it just to make? Because I mean, some people have made the case, and I don't disagree with them, that Sicario is a horror movie.
Mm. Okay.
It's a horror movie that is done under the auspices of, you know, an action drama movie.
Yeah.
But when you consider what that movie's about and some of the stuff that happens in it, it's a horror movie. It's just not.
Well, see, I own it. I've still never seen it.
And so, so that's what I kind of think that here, like, is that, you know, what was the intention? Obviously intention sometimes goes out the window once it starts being viewed by people. But, you know, just curious as to what the intention behind it was, whether it was to make a horror movie or not. Whereas that's I feel like the redo was firmly,
yes,
we're going to fuck you up.
Yep. Yep. That's an interesting point, because I think sometimes movies sort of they don't take off until after audiences have taken away from it what they take away from it, and it's not necessarily what the intention was. And so that's interesting. That's an interesting point for Suspiria, because like I wonder. I mean, obviously there's witches, and like it ends the way it ends. So
I
want to think it was always supposed to be a horror. But you're right. Like it depends on because it's not a slasher. It's not
right.
You can't put it into one particular sort of genre. And I hate to do that but it's the same thing with the guy who made Hereditary. He's like, well, it's not a horror movie. I'm like, fuck you. Like, what else could it be? Like,
it's I think his point is that it's a family drama, but right.
And it has those elements, but it scared the shit out of me. So it's a horror movie.
Exactly. Like, same as Krisha. So the guy who did what you had mentioned, It Comes at Night, his original movie, Krisha, is, you could say it's a family drama. Mm-hmm. That also could be a horror movie. Anybody who's ever been in that situation, you know, you're at a family gathering with someone who you're kind of forced to be with, and shit has gone sideways between the two of you. Like, that's scary. You know, there's genuine fear and anxiety and all those emotions there.
Yep.
It's the same thing. Like, I kind of understand his point. Like, it's not a horror movie. And simply because if you take the horror elements out of Hereditary, it still would work perfectly fine as a drama about a dysfunctional family who went through a terrible tragedy together, and all of the things those tragedies unearth for the family.
Yep.
It just happens to be at the end, someone saws their own head off.
Yep.
Which did not happen at the end of Kramer versus Kramer, or like all of these like movies in the '70s, you know, with like, it was like the family drama. Like there's one, I can't remember what it was, where like the kid drowned, you know, and then his brother had to kind of live in his shadow, Beautiful People or something like that. I don't remember. fucking Mary Tyler Moore didn't saw her head off. Like
no satanic cult. Like
no fucking creeper at the funeral. As soon as I saw that motherfucker, I was like, I'm out. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the fuck that cat's deal is, but I'm not going to stick around to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking moon-eyed Ted Cord looking motherfucker. Ted Ford, whatever. Anyway. Ted, not Ted Cord. That's the Blue Beetle. I know who I'm talking about.
Fucking A.
But anyway, so at the end of the day, I really enjoy both movies, and I think that there is there would be a reason to watch both of them. Not, I don't know necessarily the same reason, mm-hmm. but I feel like, you know, you'd be well, it would be great. I don't know what the right word is, but having both of them on your shelf, you're not going to go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
And I'm super glad that I watched both of them, because, you know, clearly I'd been missing out, you know, kind of all this time. So,
also, speaking of missing out and Twitter, do watch Boondock Saints, but don't watch part two.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Second one sucks ass. How as good as the first one is, how the second one ever got greenlit and they thought that was a good idea, I'll never understand. First one's fantastic.
Is it a situation where they just were like, well, let's just make it? Let's cash in on...
I mean, maybe, but the tone is so polarizing from the first one that I honestly, like, I know Gene said he turned it off. I finished it, and I was just like...
It was quite a while between the two, right?
It was. Right, it was. And because there was such a cult following for the first one because mm-hmm. of how good it is, but it boggles my mind that what we got for a sequel was what we got for part two.
Yeah. I mean, for me, that's always one of those things where you go, okay, well, they smelled money in the water, right?
Sure.
So that's why they did it, is because they were like, well, we can get money. And that's why, you know, and so, you know, they didn't necessarily.
So whereas the first one is a super, it's like hyper violent. It's a very smart movie,
mm-hmm.
and the jokes are smart. They're funny, and some of it's raunchy, but like it always feels like it's taking itself seriously. Whereas the second one almost feels like Seth Rogen wrote it.
Oh,
like it goes into full on like almost parody mm-hmm. mode. And the first one takes itself super seriously. Now the situations are ridiculous, but the comedy is like done in a way that while it's funny, the movie itself is still serious. Whereas part two is like almost like a fucking stoner comedy. Like it's so polarizing.
I can't do that. I can't do stoner movies. All right. Well, I plan on watching it tomorrow. And I do, so our next show, one of the things I want to be able to talk about is Overlord.
Hell yeah, I can't wait. I cannot wait for you to watch Overlord.
By our next show, I'll definitely will have, so we can get into a more, kind of nuanced discussion. But as far as like new stuff that's coming out, I don't know what would be next.
I know there's something out that I need to watch, and the fuck if I know what it is. I'm so bad at it. You know, I don't know. There's something in. Lego Movie 2 is out. Yeah, I want to see that. I
don't give a fuck about that.
Oh, I like those movies. I love Lego Batman.
Lego Batman was great, but Lego Movie, I finally, like, I got it free. It was one of those things where, you know, I think for, like, Movies Anywhere, it was like, oh, you linked your account. Here's a Lego Movie. And I watched it, and I was like, yeah. You know, it was fine.
It seems like there's something that's coming out on Blu-ray that I didn't get to catch in theaters. But I don't know what the fuck it is.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched a lot of stuff lately. Like I watched
same here, but like it's not worth talking about, really.
Yeah,
I watched Dry Blood. I watched The Golem. I've seen a few other things, but nothing that I was like, holy shit, we need to talk about this, or hey.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched more kind of mainstream stuff, but again, nothing that I was just like, oh yeah, this thing's amazing. Yeah, I really need to talk about it. But so anyway, whatever it is, I do hope, I think that I definitely will play more. I will have played Crackdown 3 by the time we talk next. It is coming. It is on its way. I will probably switch to streaming it rather than continuing to stream Assassin's Creed.
Oh, cool.
I am traveling at the beginning of next week. So when I get back, we will do Crackdown 3 in full effect. So I'll be able to talk about that.
Cool.
But whatever it is we talk about, hopefully all of you listeners will be here with us. So for myself and Mitch, this has been episode, what did you say it was? 66?
66.
Exactly. Hail Satan. thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. We really appreciate it, and we hope you'll be with us for our next episode. So for myself and Mitch, thank you again. Good night. Gotta find the button. God damn it. My wife will tell you I can't find the button regularly. Good night.